Wistful Thinking is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more movie and nostalgia podcasts, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
Okay. Welcome to Wistful Thinking, the podcast where we revisit pop culture from our youth to see if it's as good all grown up. I'm Jordan Poland Clark. With me is my co-host, Kara Gallo-Regan.
And you really nailed it that time.
I didn't write it down. We were talking about how our new intro for our show is just us messing up the intro for our show.
Every time. And then just leaving it in.
Yeah, dude, it's like we don't even bother to do it over again. Okay. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Camp Summer.
Wistful Thinking Goes to Camp. Thank you. I made a letterbox list called Wistful Thinking Goes to Camp, so I think that's a good...
Perfect. Yeah.
Right?
I don't really understand what Letterboxd is, but I have some vague idea that it's a place where you track what movies you've watched or will watch.
Yeah. Okay. And then you can write reviews of them, or you can record how many times you cried while you watch them.
You can?
No, I mean, that's not really a feature, but sometimes I include that in my reviews.
I was going to be like, they made it just for me. Why didn't I know about this?
Yeah. And it's like it's like kind of a social network, you know, so you can like comment on other people's reviews and read other people's reviews of things. It's helpful because A, I watch too many things for them to all stay in my brain.
But why do you need to keep them in your brain?
Well, I don't need to keep them in my brain. I just like to, you know, like, because then I have something that I can go back to when I'm trying to remember something and be like, I watched something recently that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, like, watching so much stuff, if you don't keep track of it, it just kind of feels like you haven't watched anything at all.
Oh, I think of it really differently. I'm like, if I can remember it, it was really good, and if I can't, who cares?
Yeah, that's fine, except that I can't remember it. Anything, even the things that I do like. So it's just like one way to outsource trying to remember those things. Instead of like trying to keep it inside my brain, I can keep it somewhere else, free up that space for other stupid things.
Like old theme songs and the words to like every Backstreet Boys song and like the plot of something that you saw when you were six. Dumb stuff.
Or imaginary fanfic that your brain has written about a movie that you've seen on cable many times.
What movie?
Little Darlings, the movie that we're covering today.
Oh, you wrote imaginary fanfic about this?
Well, I remembered there being a scene where the two lead girls in the movie make out with each other, and that doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen, but it should have. Okay.
And also, because this movie is just, like, radiating, like, big lesbian energy, because not only is Cynthia Nixon in it, who has since come out as a lesbian, but also the two women whose names I can't remember right now who are in this, they star in the movie.
Christine McNichol and Tatum O'Neill?
Yes.
I don't know their names in the movie.
Both of them have since come out.
So, oh, I do know their names in the movie. Energy.
Yeah.
Okay, they were named...
Angel
and a name that I kept not being able to understand and had to look it up how it was spelled. Because I would be like sure that I heard it correctly and then be like, oh, no, I don't know. Angel and... Ferris.
Oh, yeah. And then there's a Judy girl.
Oh my god! Okay, wait. We didn't even
Cinder.
Before
which
we
is a great
go
name.
Get into it, we haven't even said what the movie is really yet.
Well, I at least said the title.
I know.
I got that far.
I'm gonna be more official though.
Okay.
We watched.
I just love this movie.
We watched
so much.
The 1980 movie Little Darlings, which is about two teenage girls who go to a camp, and somehow the other girls get them involved in a bet where one of them has to lose their virginity first. I have questions about how that happened. And so it's a movie about two teenage girls at a camp that does not have any boys trying to lose their virginity.
Well, because there aren't any boys. But there is a boys' camp across the lake.
And all the other girls have bet on it. And so some girls are on Team Angel and some girls are on Team Ferris. And.
And some girls are on both of those teams.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, so it stars Christy McNichol, Tatum O'Neal, baby Matt Dillon,
Oh my goodness.
and a bunch of other people.
And Cynthia Nixon,
And
who
Cynthia
is also a
Nixon,
baby.
who's giving
Yeah.
everybody drugs. What is she giving them? I could not understand.
The first thing that she hands out are niacin pills, which in the 70s, I think, were being marketed as like an anti-anxiety thing. And also had something to do with the guy who founded Alcoholics Anonymous, but I don't remember the details on that. And then the other thing that she's giving people is ginseng, which is supposed to make you horny. So
Okay.
she like gives it to the girl, at least one of the girls, to be like, here, get horny. And then she also gives it to the coach. What's his job there? Why is he at the camp?
Don't know.
Okay, well, he is an adult man who one of the girls decides is a good target to lose her virginity with, which he finds very amusing, but never acts on, which is great. And so she also gives him some ginseng so that he too will be horny.
He's one of like two adults. No, I mean, there's parents in this movie, but I guess I mean he's one of two adults at the camp.
It would seem that there are only two adults at the camp, yes.
Like one woman and him, and it's totally unclear like what his job is.
Yeah. Oh,
Okay.
where are the adults? That's another
That's
good
an
thing to add to our list.
we'll save it for later.
Yeah, I'm writing it down right now.
Okay. So they're These two girls are both like kind of shown as outcasts, I guess. And they take, there's a bunch of girls taking the bus to camp. And like they are forced to sit together because there's no seats left. And one of them is in like a full white
Oh my
suit
God. Okay.
in the
So
summertime.
this is very important. This is definitely the seed of my love of like women in Canadian tuxedos and pantsuits because Christy McNichol shows up in a Canadian tuxedo, denim on denim on denim,
But she
and
looks
oh my
amazing.
God, she's amazing in this movie. And then Tatum O'Neal shows up in an all-white pantsuit with a coordinating hat, looking adorable.
That's everyone's like kind of making fun of them, like they're like the outcasts, but like they look better than everyone else.
Yeah. Except for the Judy girl, who
Whatever, we'll get to
is
her.
also
I hate her.
always wearing a weird outfit.
That was my first note. So these two girls get in a fight on the bus, and the other girls on the bus kind of like are mean to them right away. And my first note says they are all Judy. All the girls are Judy, but there's really only one Judy.
Yeah. I Keanu Reeves hot dog laughed twice while I was watching
At
this.
what?
One of them was on this bus when they're talking about movies, and one of them is like, "Oh my God, I've seen Grease 6 times." And then you hear somebody say, but it's like no one who's on screen, so you don't know who says it. Somebody says, "Hey, did anyone see Cocteau's Beauty and the Beast?" Which is a movie, like an avant-garde art house movie from the 40s, which made me laugh so hard because no one acknowledges it. It's just somebody says that and then they just keep going. And then the other time, there were some bullfrogs that sounded like screaming goats and it made me laugh really hard.
I didn't laugh at this movie, I don't think, which is like it was definitely supposed to be a comedy,
It's
but
supposed to be a coming of age movie, and it was marketed as a comedy. It
yeah, and
was
it's like
marketed as like a sex romp, which it is not
you can tell
really.
they like threw in some things to make it like feel more like that too, but like the kind of ruins it.
It's fine. I love this movie. It actually held up like better than I ever could have imagined.
I liked watching this movie, but I also see a better movie in here. Like a much better movie that could have existed.
I agree. And did you happen to take a notice of why it might be as good as it is? Or like,
because a woman wrote it?
Two women wrote it.
Because two women wrote it, yeah. But it was directed by a man.
Was directed by a man. And the whole time that I was watching it, so this came out in 1980, and so did Fast Times at Ridgemont High, which, of course, Amy Heckerling directed. And I was thinking about Fast Times so much while I was watching this, because I think that, like, emotionally, they have kind of a similar temperature, and that there's also, like, a plot in Fast Times about losing a young woman's virginity, etc. And I was like, oh man, I'm so glad that Amy Heckerling made Fast Times at Ridgemont High, but I would love to see a version of this movie directed by her, or just, you know, any woman in general. Well, but
even, like, I'm curious, because, like, so these girls at this camp appear to be, like, obsessed with sex, mm-hmm. but, like, simply, like, it seems to me, like, through the male gaze. Like, everything they know about it is just what, like, society or, like, boys or men have made them think is, like, important about it. Like, none of them mm-hmm. actually knows anything about sex at all.
Which I think is very true to what girls at this age would, like, yes. the knowledge that they would have.
Yes. Know,
especially at Although, that time, like, not having
yeah,
internet,
that's what I was going to say, is, like, I would hope that we are at least, like, on a path towards something different than this.
Yeah.
But I agree that, like,
oh
at
my
this
God.
Time.
Like, if they made this now, which I have a hard time imagining that they would, but I could totally see a version that would be so much weirder and gayer and, like...
But it would be so good.
It would be amazing.
It would be
yes.
so good now.
Yeah. But this version is also great.
Well, I found it... I mean, I just found it, like, upsetting, though. Mm. Like, to watch these girls, like, first of all, be mean to each other mm-hmm. because of all this, like, misinformation and, like, things that they think they know but they don't know. Or, like, things that they think are important but are clearly not important. Like, and it's just...
Yeah,
it's
but
just...
I have a feeling that, like, if it wasn't this, it would be something else. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
sure.
just the dynamics of, like, groups of girls, especially at that age. Like, and, like, it... Yeah, it's a bummer, but I think this is, like, so... It feels so, like, genuine and real.
Yeah, but I guess in a way that, to me, just feels, like, traumatizing.
That's fair.
Because girls are really mean.
Yeah.
And stupid and wrong. Sometimes, a lot of the time. And, mm-hmm. and, like, once... Yeah, I don't know. I just, it made me upset to watch those parts. And then, so, eventually, one of them does lose her virginity to baby Matt Dillon, who is so cute. And also, what a great time period where the men and the women looked almost the same.
Well, yeah, and I have a feeling that's why she picked him. You know, that's why that character picked him of, like... I mean, he just happens to be, like, the first guy that they run into, but, like, he has this gorgeous,
really the only
long
guy that
hair.
They ever run into.
Yeah, kind of, other than the coach of the camp. But, and there's even, like, this great kind of female gaze shot of him from behind when they first meet him, and he, like... You could mistake him for a woman from behind.
I did at first. I wasn't, yeah. like, I, like, watched this, like, kind of, like, taking notes and, like, looking at my phone, and I looked up and thought he was a woman, and then mm-hmm. he was not.
Yeah. So that's not an accident at all.
So one of them loses her virginity to baby Matt Dillon, whose name is Randy in this movie.
And, all right, Randy!
And, she immediately realizes, like, oh, that wasn't what I thought it was going to be at all. I feel mm-hmm. terrible. Mm-hmm. And it's just so sad.
It is really it's sad. So I mean, sad. It's heartbreaking. One of the other themes that I added to our list of camp themes that will come up over and over again is adult babies mm-hmm. or baby adults. I forget how I phrased it. Which again is something that you see a lot of in Fast Times at Ridgemont High and also this movie, of like kids pretending to be grown-ups and then having to deal with the consequences, or like doing adult things and dealing with consequences of it, and how the expectation of it is so different from the reality of it. And he tells her that he thinks he loves her, and she says, I feel so lonesome. And it just is heartbreaking. And like, I think in with 2019 goggles on, like, and being able to see that character through like a queer lens, like it's so heartbreaking, because she doesn't quite know exactly, you know, like what she's into, but she definitely knows she was not into that, you know. And it just like is such a heartbreaking scene.
Yeah, and I like the way I feel like they made him just as confused as they made her.
Oh, for sure.
Like, of course, in a different way, but I like.
And she's the one who's like all hot and cold after they have, like, before and after they have sex, which is so often a dynamic that we see the opposite of in film, in life, whatever.
This was also like opposite. She's all that. Like, he finds out that she only had sex with him because of a bet. Yeah. And he gets really upset.
Yeah. Yeah. She also, so this is questionable. She tries to, like, date rape him at one point. Like, she gets him drunk because she thinks, like, that is, like, the quickest way to get there, I guess.
Yeah.
And he just drinks too much and passes out.
He falls asleep.
Like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we should talk about like the concept of virginity, because it's a thing that like there's so many teen movies that are like so obsessed with it,
and it's a scam.
Yeah, like I feel like we live in a day and age where like we kind of, not the culture, like more like in a larger sense, but like there are some people coming around to the fact that like that's just made up bullshit, you know, like, and are there any like I was gonna say, are there any like movies now that are about losing your virginity? And there totally are. Like, there was one last year or 2 years ago about a bunch of girls trying to lose their virginity.
Oh yeah, Blockers. That was actually really fun. That was wonderful. Directed by a woman, however, written by two men. And I am so fucking done with men writing stories about teenage girls and their virginity.
You just said they did a good job.
Yeah, I just like, why are adult men writing about teen girls losing their virginity? I know, but
I don't know. I think we should give them credit if they did a good job. Like,
they did an excellent job. Yeah, it's really such a fun movie.
Like, good. I mean, good for them that they could do that. Like, imagine how. Like, I agree that you can look through it, like, at it through the lens of like, okay, that's kind of weird, but like, I don't know. It's also impressive if they did.
Yeah, and it's totally worth seeing. Like, it's a delight. I laughed a lot. I cried. Like, you know, and it's definitely a fresh look at this kind of story that has been told so many times. But virginity is like a made up fucking concept. Like, there's not a medical concept for it. Like, it's not a real thing. You know what I mean? It's just another way to control women, basically, and women's sexuality and their reproductive lives. But yeah, it's interesting that so much of so many teen movies like feature this like very specific representation of it, and it's just you know, I think that this is a really, I don't know where I'm going with this. Jordan, please save me.
I don't know. Here's what I want to say about it.
Okay.
I think, like, yes, like, I agree with you about what you said about virginity, but it also, like, I feel like to me is a larger problem for people of any gender for a lot of reasons. Like if we're
Oh, yeah.
talking about like males and females, it's like super dangerous to like have this concept of like this one thing, like to lose your virginity, to like put a penis in the vagina, or I guess
Right,
if
which
you're a
is
dude to
like
like put a
have
penis
a
in a butt, like is that like, I don't know, I'm not a gay dude.
well, okay, yeah, like there are so many different kinds of sex that you can have,
So that's what I
so
mean. Like, it's dangerous and
to
super does
only
not serve anybody to be
right to
like, there's
assume
this
that there's
one
just this
thing,
one
and if you
thing.
haven't done it, you're a loser. Like,
Exactly.
there's just so many other things
Yeah.
that are,
And not
like,
just
for
that,
some
but
people
like,
better, and some people aren't able to have that kind of sex. And, like, there's just, like, so many things that are not represented.
100% agree with you. And even just like what we do and do not consider sex, like you think back to the like Clinton impeachment. He was impeached not because he got a blowjob in the Oval Office, just because he lied about it. That's why he was impeached. And there was that whole thing where he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. And then this whole fucking thing in Congress about what does or does not constitute sexual contact and like what is and is not sex is a blowjob sex. And like that was bonkers. And because we have such like a limited concept of sexuality, I mean, especially in the United States, like it's just it f does everyone a disservice because we wind up like having the completely wrong conversations about this kind of stuff, you know?
Yes. So that's my like larger problem with any movie like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that this, like, to me, like, this is just one chapter, like, in a much more, at least for, like, Christy McNichol's character, like this is just one chapter in a much more complicated, longer story about like figuring out who she is and what she's into. You know what I mean?
Well, and the
So.
other girl too, Tatum
Right.
O'Neill's character, lies about having sex with the teacher.
And says that she did do it when she
Yeah,
did not.
and like made up. Hold on, I made a note about this.
Well, so she goes to him in the middle of the night as like a sickly waif who's like, "Oh, I'm going to die and you should have sex with me so that I don't die a virgin." And she's in this like very virginal white flowing nightgown, you know, talking about how about Romeo and Juliet and how romantic it was, and that was another time that I wrote down adult babies. Because like what a little baby. You know what I mean? That she
Well,
like
yeah.
thinks like the epitome of romance and sexuality is two teenagers killing themselves for no reason.
I'm just reading my notes now. After they have sex and Angel, is it Angel who has sex with Randy? Yeah.
Yes.
Is like, not having a great time. She says, "I'm not a woman, Randy."
Yeah.
She like gets it, She all of a sudden like really gets it.
Well, I so that is really interesting because he had just said something about like because she's like all like kind of cold to him now and he's like, "Well, what the fuck? Like there are plenty of women who
Yeah.
would have sex with me," which 100% correct.
He's so cute.
he's beautiful
As
in
and then
this
I felt
movie.
bad about thinking that because he's like 16.
But is he 16 in
Yeah.
real life too?
Yeah. They were all actually under 18.
Oh, God damn
I know, right?
Because I, Christy McNichol in that canoe when she like is smoking and paddling and she comes and she picks him up. Whew. Anyway, where was I? What was I talking
I don't
about?
know. We got
I just got
distracted.
all flustered.
Yep.
Oh, Yeah, he says something about like plenty of other women would have sex with me, and she says, "Randy, I'm not a woman, Randy." And I feel like that's like such another interesting point where you can read that like in a few different ways. One of which is like the Britney Spears, "I'm not a girl, not yet a woman" sense, but also like she may not even be sure like what her gender is, and like she just knows that she's not a woman, but she doesn't necessarily have the words for it yet.
That's a very 2019 take on that. I don't disagree with you, but I'm gonna go ahead and say that the person who wrote that was not thinking that.
Oh, I'm sure, but like at the same time, it's people can read these things in different ways, and I think that that's a one way that could be particularly powerful for someone who also feels that way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Another great line that I really liked is that one of the girls, I actually don't remember which one, I didn't write it down, but she's like, they're like talking about boobs or like how some guy likes her boobs or something, and she goes, "One day, Angel, you might be a sex object too."
There is so many great like little one-liners.
Okay, my question is, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Oh, I don't know. I wasn't even really paying attention.
Because they're talking, because every time they talk to each other, it is about boys. Even though there are almost no men in this movie.
Yeah. I was going to say, that's not true. They talk about movies, but then there's the one who talks about John Travolta's butt. Was it John Travolta's butt? Somebody else's butt they're talking about. Never mind.
I don't remember. there's a part where they steal a machine full of condoms.
That fucking, it's the 10-year-old who does it, right?
It's the little kid, yeah.
So she like is supposed to be in a different bunk with like a bunch of 10-year-olds, and she said something, I wrote it down, that made me laugh so hard. "You don't know what it's like being surrounded by 10-year-olds. I'll go nuts. My brain is gonna disintegrate." So she like is hanging out with the older girls and just is like one of the funniest. She's always great. Like doing something weird in the background. I said that we should do a Stan Lee Yourself segment, because I saw myself in at least three different characters in this movie. And she's definitely one of them, because at one point they're doing jumping jacks, and she's just like standing there flailing and dancing, and like just not really doing the jumping jacks. And I was like, oh, yes. Looking into a mirror at the moment.
I felt like I wanted the characters to be like better fleshed out than they were.
Oh, I felt like they were so, maybe not fleshed out, but like distinct from each other.
Oh, they're very distinct from each other, but in the way like cartoon characters are distinct from each other. They just made sure that they all looked different and had at least one personality trait that they could like latch onto.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that there was more to them than just that, but
I didn't. Or like, okay. I didn't, like, to me it didn't go deeper where it was like, oh, I understand why you are the way you are. Mm. Like, I needed to go one level deeper for me to feel genuinely, like, attached or to care about any of them.
Yeah, that's fair. I've just seen this because it just was on cable so many times. I've seen it so many times that I'm deeply attached to everybody.
Yeah, I never saw it before.
Oh, I love it. And now, like, they never released it on DVD, so it's, like, hard to find.
I watched it on YouTube.
I did, too, but it was a pretty, like, low-resolution transfer of it. But I hope that they do, like, restore it and release it on a DVD, because I feel like this, of all the movies that are thought of as, like, teen sex comedies from the 80s, like, this one is a lot more interesting than a lot of the other stuff, and should be like part of the conversation more, I think, because like it's so rare that we get to like really see. I mean, well, the two girls who are the two leads aren't necessarily like in charge of their own sexuality, because the only reason they're doing this is because of a bet that
nobody
other
is.
People made, but they're like acting with so much more agency than we like ever see.
I disagree.
Okay, we can agree to disagree.
Cause neither one of them wanted to do what they were doing.
No.
Yeah. This was rated R.
Mm-hmm.
For no reason.
Well, not for no reason.
There's no boobs. There's no... You don't even see the sex that they have.
Mm-hmm.
There's no cursing. Why is this rated R?
Because it deals with the sexuality of young women.
I know why it's rated R. Today, it definitely wouldn't be.
No. It was actually almost branded with an X rating. Just because it's so sexually frank. And this is another like thing that Amy Hackerling has come up against repeatedly in her career, that like the criticism that she would get particularly from like studio executives and stuff was that like her work was too sexual but not sexy. And I think that this, I mean, there are definitely like moments of sexiness, but like
not really though. Not like only because there are beautiful people in it, I think.
Yeah.
Not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not because it's like an inherently sexy.
No.
Yeah.
Recently, I accidentally fell into like a Farrah Fawcett wormhole on the mm-hmm. internet, and she dated Ryan O'Neal for a very long time, who was Tatum O'Neal's dad, and that dude is insane.
Yeah.
Like, it's a wonder. I mean, like, some of his children are dead, and it's a wonder that any of the other ones are alive.
Yeah. And, I mean, Tatum O'Neal has had, like, a rough go of it,
They all
too.
Have. It's so
yeah.
sad.
I actually wound up watching Christy McNichol's E! True Hollywood Story after I watched this movie, because on YouTube it was just, like, the next thing that came up. And I remember, like, watching that when it aired, and it is so... Well, all of those are really exploitative, and so few of them ever, like, actually have interviews with the person, mm-hmm. like, the person whose true story it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have archival footage of her in interviews and stuff, but, like, the narrative is being controlled by somebody else entirely, and, like, the way, because Christy McNichol has bipolar disorder, and she really had a hard time treating that, and that affected her career a lot because people thought that she was difficult to work with or like whatever, and then like eventually she was just like, meh, fuck it, I'm just like not gonna act anymore, and
yeah,
I'm just gonna go be like a normal person. But like the way that they were telling her story and the way that it's specifically they were talking about her mental illness was just like so upsetting. And then right after that I watched a documentary about the Carpenters, who I'm always falling into internet holes about, but that one, because Karen Carpenter is dead, obviously, doesn't have any interviews with her, but it was produced by her brother, and there's, like, you could totally tell that he's the one who was controlling this narrative, and, like, has always been the one controlling the narrative, and I just was angry about other people telling women's stories, and just excited that at least with this movie, women wrote it.
Yeah, I think you're giving it too much credit for okay. that. Like, I think it's great that a woman wrote it, but, and I do agree that it would have been worse
yeah.
if a man wrote it. But I don't know. I don't think it, like, serves the women in it very well, except for the parts we talked about where they kind of have these realizations. But that's like a very small part of the movie, I feel like. Mm. I don't know.
I think it's interesting that the actor that played the coach had to be recast, and so he was cast really late, and they had already shot like half the movie. So he was supposed to be in it a lot more, and he wasn't. And
oh, that actually makes sense.
Yeah.
Because he feels very confusing.
Yeah. This movie was a huge hit, making $36 million off of a very small budget, which is interesting because, you know, for years movie executives said that people don't like to go see movies about women and girls, you know. Use that as excuses not to make movies about them.
What other trivia you got?
Not much. There really wasn't much out there, which I was surprised by, because I feel like there's got to be a bunch of other people who this movie was also very important to, you know, who like are on the internet generating trivia about it, but apparently not.
Why did I write homophobia and then a sad face?
Oh, because at the beginning, like, that's kind of how the bet happens, is they're on the bus, and the Judy girl, what's her name? What's her actual name? Cinder.
Cinder,
she is, yeah, she's talking about how she has this fiance and how they've had sex and, like, whatever. And then, like, to seem cool, the other girls say that they've also had sex. And then with those two, they're like, oh, what, you haven't had sex? What are you, lesbians? Like, and that's... You know, they call her a dyke a few times, I think, which is unfortunate use of words. But, yeah, that's probably why. Sad face.
That's probably why. It is around. It's early in my notes. Oh, I hate that they're best friends at the end, too. Or just, like, I don't care. Movie people, anyone can be friends with whoever they want to be friends with. But there was just, like, nothing... They didn't even really talk to each other for the entire movie. And then all of a sudden at the end, they're like, we're best friends.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like they... best friends is definitely an odd choice of phrasing. But like they both have like been through this like weirdly specific experience that no one else had.
Yeah.
You know, and they also like... Even though they didn't bond at first, they were both the outsiders. And they've been sleeping next to each other the whole time. Like, I think they respect each other a lot, you know.
It was just, like,
and that, way that, overkill. Like, false, kind of false familiarity, I think, is easy to misinterpret as best friendness when you're alone and at camp for a long time, you know?
Yeah. They didn't, like, build up to that at
Intense
all.
Intense feelings. Yeah. Well, it's a brisk 94 minutes. Not a lot of time for anything, really. That beautiful scene where they're, like, in that field of wildflowers was not long enough at all.
Just scene in the field of wildflowers.
See?
I don't remember it.
Yeah, because it happened so quickly. They were just, like... I don't know, in a field, gathering wildflowers, Christy McNichol puts a daisy in her hair, and it cuts to Tatum O'Neill talking to someone, maybe another adult from the camp, who knows, about, like, when do you know it's the right time to have sex and stuff. It's like a brief conversation about that.
One of them had that conversation with their mom.
Yeah, Christy McNichol did. She, like, comes on, like, parent visitation day and asks her mom about it. And her mom's like, whatever, sex is no big deal. And then she has sex and she was like, this is a big deal! Why did you say that to me?
Yeah, why did you say that like that? That's not true.
Yeah.
And then I, like, she yelled at her mom. She basically was like, Mom, you date losers. Please stop.
Yeah. Well, because she just, like, had this experience with this guy who is, like, very... sensitive and like not only interested in sex. Like I think that the Matt Dillon character was a type of guy that she didn't know existed previously. And then it's like, why would you date these other losers when you could date somebody like this guy, not knowing how few and far between they are.
She does not have any male role models. Okay, you want to play our games? Do you want to play Stan Lee yourself first or the other one?
What was the other one?
Well, the other one is just our tallies.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Who would you be if you were in this movie? Or who would you cast yourself as for a cameo?
I don't know. Honestly, like, in reality, I would totally just be, like, one of the girls in the background at the camp. Just, like, not participating.
Yeah. Did you happen to notice the one with the curly hair who's always just, like, sitting there looking...
No, that's
sad
me.
And is very bad at things.
That's
and then
me.
Also sometimes wears great hats.
No.
She's great. Oh. She has, like, one of those arrow hats that, like, makes it look like you've been shot through the head with an arrow, and she's, like, wearing that while they're doing archery and stuff. Oh, she was hilarious. That's one of the people that I would be. And then the other person would be the 10-year-old, just dancing instead of jumping jacks. And the, like, horny one who's always quoting Shakespeare. Like, she's a big driver of this whole thing, too, because she, like, she's the horny one, just trying to, like, live vicariously through them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right, so the other game we created will keep going through every camp movie that we watch. Mm-hmm. And it's a list of...
It's not a game, it's a list.
It's not a game, it's a list. But I kind of think we're going to turn it into a bingo game anyway.
Oh yeah, I forgot you said that.
I kind of think we're going to turn it into bingo cards that we can just play while we watch these movies. Mm-hmm. But I am still going to keep a tally. So it's a list of camp tropes. And we went back and did it for Sleepaway Camp 2. And some of them are not typical things that you would think of as like, oh, that thing would definitely show up in a camp movie. But there was a lot of stuff that was in both of these movies that I was like, oh, that's going on the list. That's going to show up again.
Yeah.
Wow. There's a lot of them. Got a lot of them. Okay. So first we have smoking, which appeared constantly in Sleepaway Camp and Little Darlings. Matt Dillon,
which we'll see a lot less of, I think, in
when
the
we get probably
camp
into
movies.
Out of the '80s, yeah.
Yeah.
But Matt Dillon kept a pack of cigarettes in his t-shirt sleeve.
Oh, God, all rolled up. Yeah.
All right. So next we have anger, which there was a shit ton of in both of these movies. Everyone was angry for no reason.
A lot less yelling in Little Darlings, though. Different kinds of expressions.
Except
of anger.
For at the beginning was like pretty violent. Mm. That fight on the bus.
Or like the cold open of Christy McNichol just kicking a guy.
Oh,
in the
yeah,
nuts.
I like that part.
My very first note.
What?
Did you miss that?
No. I was just gonna say like. I feel like that opens her as, like, a very strong character that then disappears until much later.
Yeah, my very first note was I was nervous that this would not hold up at all, but the very opening scene is Christy McNichol kicking a guy in the balls, so I think we will be fine.
Yeah, that part's great. then...
And also, having seen this movie on cable so many times, I usually miss that part, so that was a delight. I forgot.
So next we have canoe tip. Does a canoe tip over? Yes for Sleepaway Camp, no for Little Darlings.
Oh, you skipped over homophobia.
Oh, I'll go back. Next we have homophobia, which there is a lot of in both these movies. Mm-hmm. Next we have canoe trip, which...
No.
Yeah, canoe tip and
right.
Then canoe trip.
Yeah, there's just two separate categories. Just had to make that clear.
Appears in both movies. Hiking in both movies. Camp out. There's a camp out in Sleepaway Camp. There is no camp out in this movie.
No, but I will make a note about hiking in Little Darlings. The girls go hiking to spy on the boys while they're swimming. I couldn't tell if they were skinny dipping or not because the resolution of the video was too low. So who knows? But anyway.
They were. No, they were. Well, because they were. There was one part where they were like using binoculars to watch them skinny dip, weren't they?
Yeah, I don't know if they were actually skinny dipping or not. Oh. It doesn't matter because what I was going to talk about is that Cinder wore quite an outfit to go do that. She had on these like peach colored shorts overalls with like a red bandana tied around her neck in like a scout's style, and then like a red cowgirl hat. And these yellow high heels, and she was hiking in that, and I just loved it. What a great outfit.
She's so Judy. She also did her hair really crazy later.
Yeah. We need to talk about your plan for your hair at camp. What are you going to do with your hair?
Just let it be free, and then put it in a ponytail when it gets really gross.
Okay. I was thinking about it a lot while I was watching.
I'm not going to have, like, great 80s camp hair. Mm-mm.
I just feel like you need a strategy going in, or it's going to take over your summer.
It'll be okay.
All right.
Camp out. Yes for Sleepaway Camp. No for this movie. Sleepaway Camp, everyone gets murdered at the camp out. Good choice that they didn't do it in this movie. Mm-hmm. Bonfire. No bonfire in Sleepaway Camp. Yes, we had one in this movie, though.
Oh, and there was one I also below made added Sleepaway Camp 2 because I watched that last night. So I'm going to, in a separate section, be keeping track of all the other movies that I watch and whether these things come up. Because I'm going to watch a bunch of others.
Next we have New York Accents, which appear in both movies. Not really a camp trope, but really seems to be showing up a lot so far. Matt Dillon has a New York accent in this.
Mm-hmm.
Parent visit. No in Sleepaway Camp, because they probably all would have got murdered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, in this movie. The next one is play/musical. No for Sleepaway Camp. Yes for Little Darlings. Oh, that's a good one. Kara added this. I made this and then Kara added, and I have not really looked at what she added.
Mm-hmm. When I watched Sleepaway Camp 2 last night,
there is definitely an acoustic guitar in that one.
Bruce Springsteen's sister, uh-huh. Yeah, and I was like, oh, I was missing this from the first movie, yeah. Definitely. Like, Kumbaya, sitting around campfire, playing acoustic guitar.
Can we change it to guitar because of sure. Camp Nowhere?
Oh, yeah.
Because you sure. know there's an electric guitar yeah. in Camp Nowhere.
Fair.
Guitar. Okay. So acoustic guitar, no for Sleepaway Camp, yes for Little Darlings. Inappropriate adult camper relationship, yes for both movies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to whether or not that will continue outside of the 80s. We'll find out. Age-appropriate fucking. No for Sleepaway Camp, yes for Little Darlings.
Yes for Sleepaway Camp, too. There is some intense yeah. fucking
yeah.
in that.
Yeah, it really goes off the rails in the second
A
and third
really
one.
Wild bathroom cunnilingus.
There are
it sounds like they're playing basketball at first.
There are, in the beginning of Sleepaway Camp 2, there are boobs immediately for no reason.
Yeah, tip
no
patrol.
Reason. Substance use, yes, for both movies. Surprise luggage, yes, for both
I
movies.
I have no idea I knew what you mean ask. By this.
Okay, what I mean is they all travel to camp without any signs of having any luggage, and then when they arrive, like, and I know sometimes you can, like, ship your stuff to camp, I guess.
Yeah.
But whatever, surprise luggage, both
I
movies.
Feel like Tatum O'Neal gets on the bus with a carry-on.
No, nobody has anything with them. And that is a school bus. It does not have an underneath.
Mm.
Food fight. No for Sleepaway Camp, yes for Little Darlings.
I couldn't remember if there was one in Sleepaway Camp too, but
no,
I feel like maybe.
Really?
I don't know.
I can't think of it if there is.
Okay.
Mean Girl Energy, yes for both movies, duh. Mm-hmm. Everyone is a Judy. Babies who think they're grown-ups, yes for both movies. Do you think that's always going to be true, though, about
We'll
movies
find
about
out. That's
teenagers?
The whole point.
Okay, yeah. Camp hair. Okay, I need you to define camp hair for me. Because if you are
Anytime
at camp...
Anytime hair
you,
looks crazy.
If you are at camp and you have hair, you have camp hair.
Basically, yeah. Okay. I just, like, this is... If I mark it down, I'll be able to remember... I'll be able to remember what they are, but no, I already don't. But I think this is something we should continue to track.
Okay.
Especially,
I don't know
like,
what
if we're
going
to do a bingo
I just don't know
thing.
What you mean by camp hair.
You'll know it when you see it.
But I'm not sure that I saw it.
You saw it.
How do you know?
If you had a bingo card, and on the bingo card it said camp hair, and then you saw some camp hair, you would be like...
No, because all of this hair just looks like 80s hair to me. It doesn't look like camp hair.
Yeah, I don't remember what I meant. I remember... I remember what I meant for Sleepaway Camp, definitely, because Meg has crazy hair, and also Judy has hair that she did. Oh, this is what I meant with Little Darlings, is that Cinder does her hair.
That's
like
not
she...
camp hair, that's the opposite of camp hair. That's somebody
it's hair
doing their hair.
At camp.
Everybody has hair at camp.
Listen, leave this category
I'll
to
leave
me.
It, but I'm going to keep asking you to explain it. Okay, next is someone gets thrown in the water. And, okay, are we saying that that's different from a canoe tipping?
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, for both. Who gets thrown in the water in this movie?
In Little Darlings. Tatum O'Neal.
I don't remember that.
So that she fakes... fake drowns so that the coach will save her.
Someone gets
Cinder
murdered.
Tosses her. Anyway. Uh-huh.
Yes for Sleepaway Camp. No for Little Darlings. Where are the adults? Yes for both movies. Yeah. All right. That's the list.
That's what we have so far.
Yeah.
But I imagine it will keep growing because as we see things, we're going to be like, oh, yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Well, I tried to think outside of these two movies, like, was there camp stuff that I was like, ooh, yeah, like, that should go on there. But I don't know. It feels like there are, most of them are here. Yeah. I'm going to make bingo cards. I bet you can do that on the internet.
Oh, I'm sure you can.
Is that it for Little Darlings?
I guess so.
Did you watch anything else? We talked, like, pretty recently.
I don't remember. Let me see. See, this is why I use Letterboxd, so I can be like, I watched these things. Except it doesn't track TV, and most of what I watch is TV. So I've been rewatching King of the Hill, just as, like, my, like, chill-out time. Like, brain chill, not thinking, we're having emotions time, you know? Because it's, like, not an intense show. And I love cartoons. So that's been fun. I watched Ever After. Well, I babysat. That was crazy,
you know,
first of all.
You kept a very tiny baby alive.
For 7.5 hours. It is exhausting. I do not know how parents do it for a full 24 and then, like, continuously over time for the rest of their lives. It's exhausting. I watched a couple of great rom-coms on Netflix. Did you watch Always Be My Maybe yet?
No.
Okay. It's excellent. It's Ali Wong and Randall Park, and Keanu Reeves shows up, and it's so good. And then the other night I watched To All the Boys I've Loved Before, which was also very good. Yeah, I just, soft, easy to digest things are the things that I want to be putting in my brain right now, mostly. How about you?
Well, me too, and that's why I'm rewatching The OC.
Oh, yeah.
I started it a little while ago. Did I talk about it then?
Very briefly, I think.
Am really doing it now. And I like it so much. Not only do it's I like great. It so much, I think I like it more than the last time I watched it, which was like 10 years ago. It's funnier now.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. And it, like, people really, it doesn't get the respect that it deserves because it was just a stupid, dumb,
no,
like, teen soap opera.
Though.
And there's so much more to it. Yeah.
But,
it's excellent.
And the music is amazing. And it also has brought my house together. Like,
aww.
There's, like, very little that, like, everyone in my house can agree on watching. But if I turn The OC on in the living room, like, slowly but surely, all of a sudden, like, all five of us will be standing there watching it.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's been really nice. And it's funny, someone, my roommate who had not seen it before, was like, why are they always saying each other's last names? And I was like, they do that, don't they? Because when I was explaining it to her, too, I was also using everybody's first and last name. And it's because they do it on the show constantly.
Yeah, I feel like that's a rich people thing.
But do they do that
on other
shows?
Or maybe it's just a rich
people
on television thing. I don't know enough, like, real rich people to be able to say one way or the other. Yeah, I feel like rich people are always like, hi, I'm something something
no,
something
like,
Junior the third.
No, but like they do
whatever.
It to each other constantly. Like, I mean, so Summer always calls Seth Cohen Cohen. She just calls him by his last name, and I guess she calls Marissa Coop too. But like, like, for example, okay,
she's the only one that has any sense though.
Well, okay, so
just generally speaking,
Summer.
Yeah,
not yet though. She's still dumb right now. she
I
has
love
the,
her so much.
She has the best like. Trajectory. Like, she starts off so shitty and gets so awesome. So, like, I just watched the episode where everyone finds out that Luke was sleeping with Julie Cooper.
Oh my goodness, and Julie Cooper.
Julie Cooper, I know.
I said that Summer was my favorite character, but I take that back. It's definitely Julie Cooper. Also, I just decided I'm definitely going to watch the show again.
You absolutely need to. The reason Marissa finds out, they're like kind of trying not to tell Marissa and just like sweep it under the rug and have it be over. And so Ryan makes Luke break up with Julie. And after he does, he comes back to the pool house and they're talking about it. And just as he's talking about it, Marissa walks in and he's saying, "I did it. I broke it off with Julie Cooper." Like, as if no one would know what he's like. He says her full name.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. You're totally right.
That happens constantly. And I can't, like, unsee it now. It's funny.
Yeah.
Sandy Cohen's the best.
Love him. I just want him to be my dad so badly.
I had my first, like, kind of, like, cry. Like, I cry at everything, but, like, this is not good enough. It's not, this, like, it's like a soap opera, so it's not, mm-hmm. like, emotional enough to cry at most of the time.
Oh, but you better believe I'm crying myself to death when Ryan is, like, carrying Marissa's body and it, like, shits on fire and it's all, like,
so glad Marissa died. Oh, she was the worst. Do you remember how happy everybody gets after she dies?
<That's>
She's just
horrible.
Constantly selfishly ruining everything for everybody.
I think she's misunderstood.
Whatever. I mean, I know, like, I get why she is the way she is. Look at her terrible parents and her terrible upbringing, but, like, whatever. She's miserable. But there's, like, a moment where Ryan had left. He went back to Chino, and he comes back to the house, and Sandy's like, "How was home?" And Ryan was like, "I don't know. You tell me. Like, you were here." And I was just like, "Oh, my heart."
That's Sandy,
like,
Cohen.
The relationship between,
so much love to give.
Yeah, like, the relationship between Sandy and Ryan is, like, so sweet as it develops. It's just, like,
yeah, they have, like, a very cute buddy comedy kind of, like, dynamic going on.
Yeah. And Seth Cohen is the worst, but but he gets better. And truly, especially, like, as you start to get to see him with Sandy, and you can see that maybe Sandy was also once Seth Cohen. It's like, it becomes a lot more forgiving.
Yeah, you're right. Seth Cohen would try to fuck someone in a mail truck.
What?
That was, I forget exactly, like, the details of this. This will come up in, like, the very last episode, I feel like, that, like, when Kirsten and Sandy were at Berkeley, they had sex in a mail truck at some point for some reason. So just tuck that away in the back of your brain. Let me know if and when it comes up.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I love how much it, like everyone, not how much, but every once in a while, it will, like, make a joke about itself in a way that is very good.
Yeah, like, they watch that show within the show. That's the OC, but it's the OC in this universe, you know. I forget what it's called.
I haven't got there yet.
Show.
Well, actually, I might have. I might have just got there because there's an episode with Colin Hanks, who's like an actor on a show that they love.
That's exactly.
And they go
what
to his
is.
Birthday party, and they all walk into the birthday party, and, like, somehow end up making a joke about how the actors on the show are playing teenagers and they're really old.
And then there's what season are you on?
I'm on the first season. Also, it was when TV had 28 episodes every season. It's so long.
It is really long.
But it's not hard to watch yet.
I don't think it ever gets hard to watch.
No, but every once in... Okay, you know when it gets hard to watch is when Marissa makes a dumbass decision that lasts for 6 episodes and we have to keep dealing with it. Like, Oliver. Like, those episodes suck.
Oh, Oliver.
And then Johnny, too.
Oh, Johnny. You know, that is not her fucking fault, okay? Those men come into her life.
But she chooses to keep hanging out with them.
She had a big heart.
No.
She thought
she
could change them.
No, she's dumb. Yeah, she thought she could change them, and she's wrong.
Oh. Who among us has not
No, I know.
made that mistake at least
I know.
6 to 7
I
times?
know. More than 6 to 7 times. I'm not saying I'm blaming her. I'm just saying those episodes suck.
They do suck, but I think that the writers had some animosity for Marissa and made her suck on purpose. Why does everyone else on the show get to have these incredible character arcs and she is just shitty all the time and dies? You know what I mean? That to me doesn't seem fair.
Because it just wasn't working out.
I don't know. I think
You
she could
think
have
they
been
didn't
okay.
try? I don't know. I think they just needed her to make conflict. Like, who else
Yeah.
was gonna make conflict? Because everyone
Literally
else.
anyone
No,
else.
I know, but I don't know.
Literally everyone else is making conflict all of the time.
Yeah, but not like she does. She makes dangerous decisions. Like, everyone else kind of cuts that out. It's like
Yeah.
Ryan kind of cuts that out pretty quickly because he's like a good kid and we need to believe that about him.
Yeah, but everyone has that one friend who, you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, and
You
then
know what I
eventually you
mean?
stop hanging out with them.
Yeah, or they die,
Or
I
they die,
guess.
I guess. Yeah. Spoiler, everyone. Marissa dies.
So the fake show within the show is called The Valley.
Yeah, it is.
And Summer at one point makes a comment that the Valley just got picked up for 5 more seasons. You know, these teen dramas, they run forever.
OC wasn't on for that long.
No, it was only like, what, 4 seasons?
Four,
Five
yeah.
seasons? Yeah. Not long enough. Although, I think
No, it
the
was long
perfect
enough.
length.
Yeah.
It never got too long, I think. There might be some extraneous episodes within the seasons, but the show itself had a really natural and nice arc.
God, everyone's hair is so bad, though.
Oh, the
Well,
tyranny of the flat iron.
okay, sometimes Ryan's hair is really good, and sometimes it's really stupid and flat. And it goes back and forth, like in an episode, like it'll be not in the same scene, but like in the next scene that is like the same day, his hair will be so different and terrible. And then it'll get all cute and messy again. And then Seth Cohen's hair is just Jew hair, so he's fine. And then Sandy Cohen's hair is beautiful, he's fine. And then Marissa's hair is finally like solving itself, but it was a mess for a long time. And it's
Yeah.
also different in like multiple scenes in each episode. Her hair keeps changing.
I mean, it was what,
It was
2003?
2003.
A
But
dark time.
poor Kirsten. Her hair is awful and it is not getting better. It looks like they put in like extensions to like really short
Oh
hair.
yeah, I remember that hair. It is so bad.
And then
It's
the
really quite
highlights are just
embarrassing.
like so really bad.
Yeah.
So I feel bad for her.
Oh,
And then Julie
Marissa's
Cooper just has that like horrible fake red hair.
Oh, I love her horrible fake red hair. She gets baby bangs at some point. I forget when.
Marissa just got bangs and it helped.
Marissa's half up, half wet look. Cotillion hair, very bad. Looks like spaghettis. Did they go to cotillion yet? What is cotillion?
No.
I don't
It's like a
understand.
thing that rich people do, right?
Yeah, I guess. As far as
Did they go? Maybe
TV
they
would
did
lead me to
see.
believe, yes,
They
I don't
did
know.
go because Anna was there, and Anna's gone now.
Anna!
Yeah, Anna left.
She should, because well,
She was too
poor
good for all of
Anna.
them.
Way too good.
Her hair was bad too, though.
Oh, so bad.
Like so blonde.
So just flattened
Yeah.
into sheets, you know?
I
Sheets of shards of hair.
think clothes are bad too. They seemed really
Oh.
cool at the time. Not for the dudes though. The dudes look pretty okay.
Yeah, the
There's
dudes
like
are fine. It's just those supremely low-rise jeans on those girls with their hip bones poking out all of the time.
No,
Terrible.
that doesn't bother me that much. It just all looks like 'cause they're all like rich kids and like even the like nice like I assume they're actually like real brands, like real designers that they're wearing. Like they even those just look like cheap and trashy
They are
because
so
of the
bad.
year.
So many flared jeans.
Yeah, and just like really ugly shirts and like really ugly colors.
Yeah, I mean, that's like part of the reason we watch shows about rich people. At least I personally watch shows about rich people is to see their fabulous clothes, and this was not one of those series.
I
Like, that was
did.
not the thing to watch for.
I was thinking about it because Marissa wore the first shirt that I was like, oh my God, I want that. But that was the first time that happened, and I was like 25 episodes in. I did buy a purse because I fell in love with it on the OC once.
Oh, really? What did it look
It's,
like?
I will show you. It's a, I just got rid of it finally. It was a Coach purse, but that doesn't have those dumb C's all over it.
Oh, yes. Like the handbag as status symbol, which has always been a thing, but it was like, and I feel like due in large part to the OC, very big at that time in particular, right?
Yeah, probably. I mean,
Like
I
the
don't know. It was
designer
just really big
handbag is,
then.
yeah.
I also, Joey made fun of, this was in college. I bought the purse. And I definitely bought it by accident. Like, I was looking at it to buy, it was like on eBay or something. They didn't even sell it anymore. I had to like work hard to find it, which was fun. But I found it on eBay, I think. And I accidentally clicked the like buy now button, which was like fine. I wanted it. But I went to Joey and it was like, I accidentally bought a purse. And he was like, how did you accidentally buy a purse? He made fun of me for a long time.
Yeah, that's really funny.
And I'm still looking for a picture of it. I know I can find it.
Yeah, Ryan's hair looks terrible when he has like product in it.
No, that's
But
when I
like,
like it. I
I don't
think.
know.
I don't know. I don't know what you're looking at.
Don't like it when it like sticks up in the front.
Oh, I do.
Oh, I see what you mean when it's like
It's
fluffy
like
and bad.
sometimes it's like messy and cute, and sometimes it's like
Yeah.
flat.
Oh, 2003.
None of them ever were really like in anything else. I mean, they know they were a little bit, but never like.
Rachel Bilson has like a fashion line now, I think. Like she's like a successful fashion person.
Okay.
I think if anyone, Ryan, whose name I don't even know
Ben
in real
McKenzie.
life, Ben McKenzie, I think he's probably been like of the kids in the most stuff, 'cause he's had a couple of series. He was on Gotham and
Yeah, I
like a
guess I
couple
remember
like
that.
Southland, I think. Yeah, Misha Barton never really left the runway, unfortunately. And Seth Cohen was in some things. Most of them were bad. Oh! You know what he was in?
What?
Jennifer's Body. He
Oh my God,
plays.
he was! He just played Seth Cohen.
Yeah.
But a little older.
And like,
And also like a devil worshiper.
rapier. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only other thing
Oh, that's
I've
a
seen
cute
him in. Isn't
purse.
that cute?
Yeah, I like that.
It's not, it looks kind of dated now.
I would say that it's retro, like it's vintage.
Like I
You know,
tried.
like it might be dated, but it's like old enough that you could pull it off as vintage.
No, I got rid of it. I like was like, I don't know, I just could, I got rid of it.
Oh, I like it. Who had it? Like
Summer,
Vinny.
duh.
Of course. Yeah. Her clothes were always the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is Rachel Bilson up to? She's so cute. I love her so much. Oh, she does have a. She was on The Heart of Dixie, which was on for like 4 years, was a CW series, comedy drama. Which starred Rachel Bilson as Dr. Zoe Hart, a New Yorker who, after her dreams of becoming a heart surgeon fall apart, accepts an offer to work as a general practitioner in the fictional Gulf Coast town of Bluebell, Alabama. Interesting.
Yeah, it seems like they've all worked some, but... Mm-hmm. Nothing as big as the OC. The OC was big, right?
It was a phenomenon.
Okay, it wasn't just because I was like the right age for that.
Well, I mean, maybe
it helped.
I also was that age, but no, I feel like it was like a huge cultural phenomenon, like enough that it spawned its own reality spinoff in Laguna Beach, which I also watched religiously.
Oh,
it was so ridiculous and good.
No.
Oh, so bad, but good.
I had lines.
And then that spun off into its own thing with The Hills and, like, two other shows. And Kristen Cavallari is still in the tabloids, amazingly. And, oh, God, Spencer and Heidi, they're still in the tabloids, too.
Oh,
I don't understand why they won't go away. Anyway, yeah, huge cultural phenomenon, I think. And, like, I think it holds up to the scrutiny of, like, going back to it and seeing that it was actually really good and deserved kind of the attention that it got, although I don't think it got the right kind of attention. Like, it wasn't a phenomenon because people were like, oh my god, this show is so good.
No, I've been reading some about it, and people actually really liked the first season.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't think they were like, this is high art. But, like, it wasn't, like... It got, like, generally pretty good reviews.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the same show as Gossip Girl, from what I can understand.
No, not at all.
Well, I was watching it with my roommate, who had never seen The OC but has seen Gossip Girl. And I was, like, trying to convince her to, like, be into it with me. And I was like, I think it's just, like, Gossip Girl. And then I started explaining everyone to her. And she was like, oh, yeah, that's this person. Oh, yeah, that's this person. And she had, like, a Gossip Girl match for every single character.
Oh, interesting. Now talk about a show about rich people with great clothes. The style in that show.
But are we going to go back
in
10 years?
But also very questionable sometimes.
Are we going to go back in 10 years and be like,
I mean, yeah, like, there's definitely some very, very bad looks. But, like, in general, I think it's fun. It's definitely, like, very much of its time. I probably wouldn't wear most of that. I probably wouldn't have worn most of that at the time either. So, who knows?
All right. Anything else to add?
I don't think so.
Well, tell everyone where they can find you then.
You can follow me. Oh, I do have one more thing to add, which is that the guy who directed Little Darlings also directed Gettysburg.
I don't know what that is.
It's a movie about the Battle of Gettysburg.
Cool.
that I have seen 900 times because my dad was like obsessed with the Civil War. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this, that I've seen a lot of war movies. Gettysburg, probably more than any... maybe Glory a few more times, both about the Civil War. Anyway, really blew my mind to realize that he also directed that. We used to go to Gettysburg for Thanksgiving for several years because my cousins like lived in like the middle of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd go there for Thanksgiving and then spend the rest of the weekend in Gettysburg. It was so boring.
Sounds boring.
Oh, yeah. If you want to find me, you can follow me on Instagram at Bimpse, B-I-M-P-S-E.
And if you want to find me, I'm on Instagram at JordoPC. You can find our Instagram at WistfulPod. And we will talk to you next time with another plant movie. Bye.
Bye.